This morning will be slightly different with our devotions because we're going to literally zoom through Hosea chapter 7 right through to chapter 10 because it's not pleasant reading. And what I'm going to do is just read out some verses from the Message translation, because with the Message translations of chapters 7 to 11, really, it's quite brutal and bare. Sometimes certain translations can almost sanitize what's happening, and this particular song, Reckless Love, certainly applies to the time of Hosea and how he loved his wife and how God loves Israel, and God still loves Israel. So I'm just going to, as I said, just going to quote a few verses from chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10. So Hosea chapter 7 and verse 7, we read these words: "Every time I gave Israel a fresh start, wiped the slate clean, and got them going again, Ephraim soon filled their slate with new sins." And then in verse 11, "Ephraim is bird-brained, mindless, clueless, first chirping after Egypt and then fluttering after Assyria. Instead of crying out to me in heartfelt prayer, they whoop it up in bed with their whores, gash themselves bloody in their sex and religion orgies, but turn their back on me." You see the brutal language that is being used. And as I said previously, it's thought that Hosea's wife herself became a temple prostitute, and Israel had prostituted itself against God by going after other religions, and their ways in their own mind of worshiping God was so far from worship, it was appalling. Chapter 8, verse 3, "Predictably, Israel cries out, 'My God, we know you,' but they don't act like it. Ephraim has built a lot of altars, but they use them for sinning." Can you believe it? Altars for sinning. "I write out my revelation for them in detail, and they pretend they can't read it." And then again in chapter 9 and the verses 1 and 2, "Don't waste your life in wild orgies, Israel. Don't party away your life with the heathen. You walk away from God at the drop of a hat, and like a whore selling herself promiscuously at every sex and religious party on the street. And when they arrived at Baal-Por, that pagan shrine, they took to sin like a pig to filth, wallow in the mud with their newfound friends." And chapter 10, "The people of Samaria travel over to Crime City to worship the golden calf god. They go all out, prancing and hollering, taken in by their showmen priests. They act so important around the calf god, but are oblivious to the sham and the shame." That's what's ahead of you. In fact, verses, I don't know if you have your Bibles there, but chapter 10, and probably from verse 12 down to verse 15 is such unpleasant reading. I'm not including it here. It is so, so horrendous. But there's this thought that this is what actually happened. And verse 15 said, "That's what's ahead for you, you so-called people of God, because you're off the chart evil, because of your off the charts with evil. Some morning you're going to wake up and find Israel king and blank, nothing. And then the first few verses of chapter 11. So as I say, those few chapters from 7 to 10 are not great reading. They show the horrible depths to what Israel had sank to. But God was still wanting to restore them. The depth of God's love is absolutely outstanding and awe-inspiring. Chapter 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And so in the midst of this chaos of sin, God wants to remind Israel that they are his son, that he loves them. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. It's good to be reminded this morning that God loves us. We wallowed about in our sin, but God reached out to us and, as it were, took us out of our Egypt, took us out of our slavery, took us out of our sin, and he calls us sons and daughters. And even though we still get it wrong, and even at times we slip back and think things and say things and do things that we shouldn't do, his love is just so, so vast. And I think that the sins of Israel and the tribes of Israel are put out there in Hosea and other prophets just to show us how much God loves us and how much he still wants to draw us back to himself. He's a loving father, but he was spurned by his son. A beautiful picture in verse 3. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. And for those of us who have children, you can remember that time when our babies went to toddlers and they started to walk. And that picture now that I can have now with my grandchildren, when they're holding your hand and they kind of stumbling and trying to walk. But you hold them strong and you're helping them to walk. It was I, says God, who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arm. And goes on to say, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Just that beautiful picture of how God looks after us, how God loves us, how God cares for us, how God wants that relationship with us. I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. And in the midst of all the sin of those chapters from 7 to 10, and it continues to the rest of 11 until we get to the repentance at the end of the prophetic letter. God is our guide. Our Father is tender towards us, and our Father is our provider. And so let's take encouragement in the midst of all that's happening at this time, that God takes us by the arm. Even when we stumble, he holds us. He bends down and he lifts us up, as a parent would lift up a young little toddler. And God is always our provider.